hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I am so excited to have Anita Wong here. She is the first generation Chinese American daughter of a refugee. She draws her strength and inspiration from her heritage, which we're going to touch on in the podcast. And she shaped her relentless work ethic, resilience, with ambition. Growing up behind the restaurant kitchens next to liquor store refrigerators, Anita witnessed firsthand the grit of entrepreneurship. Anita, I just want to say, first of all, welcome to the podcast. I don't want to just talk to you about you as if not here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm sure listeners, if they're out watching, it's okay, so where is she? You haven't even said hi to her yet. Thank you so much. So not only just with that alone, she has a degree in architecture and business from USC and CCA. She's built an impressive real estate portfolio, expanding from California, Nevada, Washington, Texas, and overseas. Wow, that's going to be amazing to talk about. And as the CEO and co-founder of the Give Rise Capital and a syndicator in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, Anita is also an investor-friendly realtor in the Bay Area. Ooh, that's a plus to all of that. In addition, she co-leads SARE, Share Ladies, and she co-hosts the Share Ladies podcast, a sister platform of the Subtle Asian Real Estate. I'm sorry, I'm just butchering that. Subtle Asian. Oh, yes, I did say it right. Subtle Asian Real Estate, which I really want to know how that started with 24,000 investors nationwide. That's impressive. Her passion is to empower the APPI women to achieve financial independence and increase the visibility of women of color in real estate. And this is why it's so important to have you on this podcast, because the real estate, I'm not one to be like the gender separation, but when you're in the real estate market, you can't help but notice that we are not necessarily outnumbered in the rooms if you go to any of these conferences and stuff. And so I love it that you're bringing all of these women together. That's a lot of women to embrace the world of real estate, which can be very financially freeing. So welcome again. And if you want to add to your fabulous repertoire.
No, I think you definitely covered it.
Okay. As I mentioned before, I like to start the podcast off with, oh my gosh, my brain just left me. There we go. The self-praise showcase, which is where we as society are not taught, particularly as women, I have to say, now that we're talking about gender a little bit, to brag and boast about accomplishments in their life, whether they're small, a little small thing of stepping into a small fear, that's a really big accomplishment. So I want to hold space for you and our listeners to share your little moment of boast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, my moment of boast is that, so we completed our raise for a 76 unit in Dallas. I'm going to be closing next week. And I'm rewarding myself with a bucket list trip. I'm doing a 9-day bike ride around Taiwan. And it was hard to say yes to because I have a 6-month-old and I definitely had a lot of guilt about saying yes to such a really long trip, but I'm taking it. Like it's not going to get easier. I'll just say that.
Oh my gosh. I just have to say that is fantastic in multiple ways. The first thing is that you're celebrating your win. And that's not something that we do. And I'm guilty of that. I have to say, it's even hard for me to take a time off for my birthday, which I'm doing this year. And to go on a bike ride in Thailand, wow, that's going to be fabulous. And you take care of yourself. It's the old saying, you know, when the oxygen mask in a plane, you put it on yours first so you can breathe in order to help others. And that's exactly what you're doing for your child.
Yeah, hopefully I survive this. And so
you will. You might have a sore butt, but
yeah, I hope so. I hope that's all it is.
Just my lack of education. It's a lot of hills in Thailand, is it not?
It's Taiwan, but
sorry, Taiwan.
Sorry. Yeah, no worries. It's just like one really big one and like mostly cruising, but yeah, it's a little bit of in and out, but it's a 9 days. It is not, yeah, I'm not really a cyclist either. So this is like a big jump for me, mostly a backpacker. So I do have some endurance, but I have never done a bike ride. But this has been on my bucket list, I think, since, I don't know, maybe 2008.
Oh, good it's, for you. That's another
yeah.
One. That's another
Definitely.
Way of following through and gifting yourself something that you really want to do. So you're not a cyclist. So I'm just curious, when I lived in New York City, the reason I'm asking this, this is all from my own personal information. The listeners may be like, okay, move on, Candace. Lived in New York City. I used to build artificial trees and rocks for the zoos. And in order to get to the Bronx Zoo, I had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, but I lived in Manhattan. And the time I had, so being there, the time of the trains were still on the night schedule. So for me to get an extra hour sleep, I would ride my bicycle one way, 17 miles, just to sleep one more hour. So I'm familiar with riding a bicycle 36 miles a day for 2 years in a row.
Wow, maybe you should come with me.
But so I'm wondering if you are riding a bicycle that's a cyclist bicycle with the skinny wheels, are you riding like a mountain bike? And I assume this is a tour then.
Yeah, it's like a tour and they have a van that follows you through the entire experience. So they provide the bikes and so they will, I think it's probably road bikes, but so they have a maintenance person that follows you around.
That's good.
I know. I was like, yeah. And also like they're providing the bike. So I don't have to haul one over from the United States over there.
Yeah. I would definitely think too. I'm all about anywhere I go, anywhere, it's all about the snacks. I want to know where's the van? Where's the snacks?
Yeah. It constantly be fueling me in the back. Yeah.
That's right. Wow. So that's amazing. Thank you so much. And I hope that's inspiring our listeners to do something. Well, you're stepping into the fear. You're giving yourself this amazing adventure that's going to just the accomplishment of it, but there's going to be so much more richness that's going to come from this, including the endurance. If anyone's ever exercised to the point where they get to that like runner's high, there's a lot that happens. It's almost like a wonderful, beautiful gratitude meditative state when we get to that level. So I'll be really curious to hear emotionally what comes through that later for you.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do.
Cyclist high.
Now we're going to bring it back to the topic of the book. One of the things that, you know, like when I first started this podcast, it's about the journey of money. And we hear so much on all social media, how people already have gotten where they are, but they're not really telling about the nitty gritty of getting into the experiences that they had to get there. And sometimes those simple things like one, being the only woman in the room, being someone that is not the white male, sorry, listeners, if you are, but there's truth to that. There's a lot of privilege that can happen and then a lot of discrimination. And I'm just wondering what part of the journey of reaching, going towards financial freedom has been the most challenging or something that you really feel that you would like to share with our listeners about that would be encouraging to them?
Yeah, and I know when you're talking about the topic of gender, and I think it happens to all of us, and I'm sure every single real estate conference that I have ever been to, you just look out and just like a sea of white men in blue suits. And it happened to me. I had a hard thing that did happen. So if you remember, I believe it was in 2018 when there were AAPI hate crimes happening in San Francisco. So I had this moment where I was buying weapons for my elderly parents because there was a lot of news at that time about, you know, about people being attacked on buses, elderly Asian people that were being attacked on buses. Wow. And I had a moment, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm born here, I was raised here. There's a lot of Asian in my community too. So I never really felt that that realm of racism really at all. But then I think when these things started to happen, I was just like, oh, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I am not as welcome as I originally thought. And so in that moment, I really felt like I had to reach into understand my culture, not something that I was really into before. Mm-hmm. And I had to just understand where I was coming from. And I felt this need to turn into my community. And so at that same time, I was also thinking about my brand, right? Thinking about in the world of real estate and something that you do have to do in order to get to financial freedom or whatever it is, that you need to choose your own brand. You need to rise above the like the social media content. And so I had to, I was like, so I chose in that moment, I was like, I'm going to be the person that is known just as the Asian woman in real estate, because that is just at face value, essentially who I am. And so when I built Sarah Ladies, that was mission. I just said to my partners, Annie and Nelson, who founded SARE, I was like, I felt that I really needed to lean in into this community. And from there, I built my brand and my following and my investors around supporting API women and in providing them financial freedom, opportunities for financial freedom. I think I say in Sarah Ladies, financial freedom is the buzzword, but I don't use the word financial freedom because to women, I think financial freedom means so much more, right? It's actually about agency, right? And so since I've been leading Sarah Ladies, like the tool of real estate has helped women get out of bad relationships,
yes,
bad bosses, and really begin to take agency for themselves. Or even, let's say, also talk a lot about cultural issues. So taking care of your parents, which is brings the deep sense of honor back into your life. And so real estate has really been a tool for all that. And so say like leaning into who I was, searching for understanding my identity in the United States has really helped me build my brand, build this sense of fulfillment, and also just to also lean in and bring to light the people that understand my own identity in the US and in real estate.
Wow. That's just, it's so powerful in the moment. And hearing, my heart just sank listening to you talk about that, because this, it's so hard. You don't want to believe that this really happens, but it does. And then when you meet someone that is experiencing this individually, meeting and having this moment of sharing that. First of all, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that with our audience. That's very courageous of you, as well as the fact that, damn, I'm just sorry if for that. No one should be treated that way. No one should be treated that way. And the beautiful thing about what I like to believe about, and it's not going to be a, this big patriotic podcast, people, trust me, I'm one of these, let's get political or anything. America is beautiful because it's diversity. You know, it's a country built upon people coming from other places. And I do not, because I have Native American heritage, do not want to dismiss the true Native Americans, because every country has their own people. But we as a collective is what, that's what makes life full and fulfilling. It's the we program, not the me program. And it just would be nice if people were to able to just for a moment to take that perspective. Not always, but and it, the world is not all doom and gloom. Unfortunately, the news projects that, so it's weighing around. But there's a realistic aspect of what you're talking about. And it's in those moments where I then see you shine, where you've taken that. And it's, no, you're not going to beat me down. You've just raised me up. And I have to say, I don't know, maybe in men's groups, I would see this type of adversity to something like that. But when I've been in groups with women, I see this more and more often where they will take the pain and they will shift it around and say, not anymore. This is not going to happen to me. And I'm going to empower myself with what I have. And wow, thank you. And how amazing that you have done that. And look what you've done. Did you have any idea that it was going to go as far as it has with the podcast and the investors? And like when you did that, you were already in the syndication aspect, or were you just discovering who you were and where you were going?
I was already an investor at that time, but I hadn't jumped into syndications. So I was just beginning and learning about the process. But as I grew, my community grew with me. And luckily, honestly, for that, because I don't think that I would have been able to build such a successful syndication career without the backing of the Sarah Ladies community. And I think I say that because I had my first kid in the middle of basically getting my first deal. I was pregnant, going, like flying to Dallas all the time, meeting men. And there were so many days that everyone told me that, including my family, that they said, you should just stop. You should think about yourself, think about the baby. You should maybe just give up your business because it sounds like it's a lot of hard work. You don't want to put the strain on the baby and then, or maybe have your husband go. And I was like, I really truly fought that for a really long time because I was like, I love my husband and everything like that, but this is mine. This is my career that I have worked really hard to build. And the second I send him, a man, into what I've built, it's him that's going to be taking all this credit. And so I really had to fight for that, just saying, no, I'm actually going to go. And I had to surround myself with other female syndicators, which is, by the way, there's not that many. I will
yes,
say that.
Okay.
There's not that many. I'll say that. There's only like a small crew. And I had to say, I was like, tell me your life was not over when you had, tell me how you did it. And one by one, they would tell me, like, just keep going, just take it one step at a time. And surely enough, I did my first deal. Also, like, credit to all of my partners too, who like just saw me fighting through it and continue to support me by like just being like, I'll be here for you when you had to have your doctor's appointment. So I would not have been here without surrounding myself with seeing other people that looked like me in positions like this to tell me how they did it.
Wow. Yes, we can't do it alone. We cannot do it alone. We do need to have the support of people in those moments when those moments of doubt come around. Because we all have them. It doesn't matter what circumstance, we all have moments of doubt.
Yeah. And I think I say representation matters. I know that women sometimes say it's like, you just have to beat through. You just need to show up as the woman on, like, in the world of men. And I think it, like, having representation matters because you're not always on it 100% of the time. You mm-hmm. have days when you're just sitting in bed and thinking about your next day, when you're just exhausted and tired and wondering if you actually belong. And if you don't see people that are like you doing it, it's just like one little notch that just kicks you down, right? And
yes.
I really just take that one little seed of doubt to just take the whole thing down.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally, for those are only listening to the podcast and not visually seeing me, I have dreadlocks, tattoos, piercings. When you walk into something that is white men in their blue suits, definitely standing out like, oh, I'm sorry, the conference for, I don't know, health and well-being is down the street. The finance conference. No, you're in the wrong room. Just one thing that I learned about myself, and just also being an artist, is I think differently in the sense of just like, I think outside the box. Even when I joke all the time, everything you now, you don't sign anything when you charge a credit card or whatever. But when you do those few times that you have to sign electronically, it doesn't work sometimes because even that I'm trying to sign and I'm signing outside the box and it won't take the signature sometimes. But I'm not that rebellious, but not too much in that sense. But I really am inspired by you. Just hearing this snippet that you have just shared, I can only imagine the impact that you're going to have with this podcast on many women out there. And understanding that even though you don't fit in, even if you are not surrounded, like in a location where people or other women or other people that are like you doing something like this, that you can identify with people. That's why I love podcasts. You can identify and find somebody on a podcast and know that you're not alone.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that the podcast was just the start of it, right? The podcast led to women-led investors trips outside in different states. We had 3 women summits, multiple participation in conferences. So we've had a lot of really great programming that really did springboard just having conversations. And from a podcast, like, kudos to you for keeping one, because I know how much work goes into these. And
yeah,
and wow, and it's such a powerful vehicle too, because I get all the time, and like, people listen to me about like maybe a podcast from my first season, and I was like, oh my god, when people tell me, and I'm like, I listened to your first season, I'm like, I feel like they're looking at me naked.
I know.
Yeah, it's like, god, I'm so sorry. A different speaker then. I was like, I'm a very different like person now on the podcast, but thank you for listening from the very beginning. And I love that, because it's a lot of work to do one of these. And so kudos to you for reaching out and finding a place where people can continuously touch base with you, and your work has spread in perpetuity.
Oh, thank you so much for that. It is a lot of work, but I gotta say, when I do little snippets where things that I've learned about myself on my own journey in moving towards financial freedom, but it's like bringing in the guests and then having these very organic conversations, you realize that you meet people, we're from totally different backgrounds, but we share very much the same experience, very much experience. And I could tell you too, even sitting amongst a group of there might be a little bit less or more, but even if there were a group of men in blue suits sitting around us, we would be sharing some of the same feelings and experiences for sure. So this is definitely, thank you so much for being vulnerable in this and sharing with me, and willing to laugh about it at the same time, because hindsight, we can laugh at these things.
Yeah, I think it's necessary. Fun is mandatory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me, what about, so your definition of financial freedom, in the sense that it's not this big number. It really is not about a number. Yes, a number, because money is a tool that we have to have in order to have the things that we would like to have, the opportunities. It does alleviate stress to then therefore allow room for happiness. You know, it doesn't bring happiness, but it alleviates the stress and the pressures and brings about a peace of mind. So in your journey, do you have a destination, or how do you describe your financial journey as in going towards what would be your definition of financial freedom?
Yeah, that's a question that I'm always constantly asking of myself and my husband about, what is the whole purpose of the real estate journey that we're on? Because I think, to me, having a 500 doors, 1,000 doors doesn't mean shit to me.
Exactly.
And I think it's a lot of, I don't know, it's just like a lot of, it doesn't, the number of doors, actually, the more doors, it just sounds like a lot more work. And I feel like people that are leaving their W-2 jobs just to have 1,000 doors seems like you're going, just leaving one source of work into another source of self-inflicted work. So I think we talk a lot about like the purpose of it, obviously, is efficiency, about having a life where your finances work for you, and that you don't need to show up maybe, and you still are making money, right? It's about leveraging, making the best use of American laws and American tax laws for you, right? And working smarter, not harder. And then also being free from rushing. I think for us, we are measuring the success of our financial freedom by how much we are able to give. I've dedicated my first syndication onto my entire GP funds into creating a scholarship in my father's name for refugees that are going to UC Berkeley. And so we measure it by how much we are able to give, and then also how much time we are able to spend on the things that really, we just call it the deathbed moments, the things that you want, that when you're on your deathbed, that you look back and you may or may not regret that you had time to experience. And so I think for us, I wanted to make sure that when I had my first kid or having my first kid, I wanted to really experience the motherhood, the first 6 months of her life, and not having to rush back into work or like most women have to do, wouldn't understandably, but I just wanted to be in a place financially where I could be with her and experience my pregnancy in full. So I think having achieved that, I feel extremely grateful. I think ongoing, it's just, how can I support those two things? How can I give more, spend more time with my family and live the way that we desire to live, that we wouldn't have any regrets on our deathbed?
Yeah, I hear, I'm a big believer in energy, and what energy we put out is what we attract. And when I'm thinking about you going through, first of all, of anyone's evidence indication, it is a full-time job, and you're constantly interacting with people, constantly talking and meeting to people. And to be pregnant on top of that, wow. First of all, I just have to say.
And yeah, I have to share this story because yes. I love it because, oh my goodness, when I was breastfeeding, I had to go to Dallas to do a property tour of the property I was purchasing. And it was like 110 degree weather or something like that. And I was just like in and out like for a day. And I was just like panicking in my head because I had to be constantly pumping every like 3 hours. And there's no person that would understand. And I was just like freaking out because I didn't have a refrigerator or something to put my breast milk in. And then I was like, anyone have any ice packs? And literally had people from Sarah Ladies like driving over ice packs and making sure that I could store my breast milk.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't want to say anything to any of the vendors and brokers because they're all men and they would just stare at me and not understand. The person I didn't understand was the property managers because they're all women and they're all like Latina women too. And they're like, yeah, I got you. I'll find you a refrigerator and we're going to stick it in there. And I was like, I just had a moment. Oh my goodness. No wonder why syndication and real estate isn't for women, because how do you accommodate for all of this?
Oh,
really, I had women running to the rescue with ice packs and driving them over to me. And so if it wasn't for them, I'm not even sure I would ever go back. I was like, this place was not for me.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And talk about the one thing that I truly believe in is that if you ask for help, you get it. And also, when you really need something, somehow the universe provides. And there were the property managers right there with their little refrigerators underneath the desk, probably taking out their food and putting it in your breast milk instead.
And I think that's something that women don't do well for themselves. And I think that we try very purposely to integrate into our Sarah Ladies programming is asking for themselves. And so I really appreciate your like celebrating a recent win, because not something that women do at all. And I say, if you want to be a real estate investor, first thing to do is just say that you want to be a real estate investor. I think that simple step is so missed especially amongst women.
Yeah. That just making the decision, because when you make that decision that I want to do this, then all of a sudden it's like you hear people, I forget what the name of the term is, but you see a particular car that you like and you make the decision to buy it, but you only saw it once. But then once you buy the car, you see them everywhere. And it's the same thing when you make that decision, I'm going to invest in real estate. All of a sudden, things start popping up in front of you. You start to notice signs. You start to notice single family homes that look like, maybe somebody is not doing so well there and they need to sell that. All these opportunities, you'll run into people. I've run into people on the beach that are walking my dogs that start talking to me about real estate. And I'm like, oh, this is very interesting.
There's something to manifesting. It is real.
You do have to, you can't sit on the couch and just stare at the ceiling and expect. You do have to take some type of action. But when you start to make that one initial decision, then you're looking for it. You're actually looking for it and you don't even realize it. And it just falls.
I'll add to that too. I think that a big thing that I have realized from hosting so many women's events and podcasts is like the biggest barrier, a big barrier, even just for Asians in general, is that it's the perfectionism issues, right? Mm-hmm. Think that there a lot of women say, if we want to do something, we want to do it right, we want to do it perfect. And that is one of the biggest barriers for any woman just getting started or started in anything, even just a new asset class or a new type of investment. And I had this moment too, when I was starting my podcast too, that I was just like, me and my co-host, we were, you know, heads down working on this first episode for I think 2 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we met this man who said he had his own podcast and he's like, just expect 100 of your episodes to be crappy. And I was just like sitting there, I'm just like, this man had the galls to put out 100 crappy things. And then what is preventing me from putting out? So I was just like, there, for whatever action you're not taking, I say that there is a man probably who is highly, who is a lot less qualified than you already doing it. Because I think what men do well is that they're just, they just know they need to get the reps in.
Yeah.
And it's going to be not perfect. And that also goes for your deals, right? It's like they're submitting the offers. They're expecting that it's not going to be perfect, but they're expecting to fail. They have a higher tolerance perhaps for it.
Yeah. And I have to say, look at the magazines and the way society presents women, and look at the magazines for men. A man is successful when he just simply tries. Doesn't matter, succeeds, accomplishes whatever it is that they're trying to do. It's like, you're a go-getter. You did it. Good job, man. But women have to keep up that appearance. They have to have that part, that perfectionism. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. It didn't work out, did it? That's the kind of response that we get often. And I think it's really funny that I'm using magazines, because I am the furthest that anyone would ever be having in a magazine representing women, at least in the sense of the fashion area. But yeah, that's so powerful to think about. And perfectionism. And I was listening to, there's a gentleman, Pat Flynn is, I think is his name, who he, that's how I started to think about podcasting. And he actually started a podcast, and he talks about starting the podcast. And now when he looks back at when he first started out, like he was like, I'm so embarrassed. Now I just laugh. It's like a comedy show for me if I put it on kind of thing. And even doing this podcast, it's a lot of work to get it up to the point. There's a lot of moving pieces that you got to get in place. And not everything is going to go smoothly. And I wanted to, like, for instance, as an artist, I'm very particular about what I wanted for my website for the podcast. And I had already had all these recordings that I wanted to, and responsibilities, because people had given their time. I need to get these out here. But I was like, I got to get my website up and running. And I'm okay to say, I still have things on my website that if you click on the button, it's not going to work. You're going to get the overall, I think it's great, because I like doing my own website, but it's okay because I know I can come back to that. But overall, I would say 98% of it, I'm good with. The rest of, but I'm particular about certain things, and it's okay. So I do need to fix this little click on that. There's a lot to know. You got to be a tech person and this and that and so many things. So many.
I appreciate you so much. I think just in that one thing, there's going to be a button where it just goes nowhere. And I love that, so real, because it's like, same girl, same. It's not going to be perfect. And I think that is one thing that was one of the biggest learnings in real estate, is that when is your good enough, right? It's like, where is your good enough threshold that you're just going to cast it out into the world and just be okay with it being in that imperfect state?
And I think it makes us more authentic. People can relate to others in the sense when you're real. But if you're always keeping up appearances, there's no realness there. There's nothing to relate to because people are imperfect. The word perfect, I forgot, where did I hear that on a podcast or something, that it actually is not a real word that was referring to human beings. I think it was something referring to computers. I'm sure listeners probably may know more than me on that one, but it was something I was like, oh, because perfection does not exist. And if you think about perfection, when you walk for, I live by the beach and I walk on the beach all the time and I look at the stones and the sand. When you look at the ocean, every day is different. Doesn't matter if it's a sunny day, cloudy day, every day is different. Even a sunny day from sunny day, when the water is flat, there's the sun reflection. There's all sorts of nuances that you can see. But when you have a rough, where do you see the people? Like when a storm comes, people flock to see what, if you could look at it in this way, all those big waves coming in on the beach, that's imperfection because it's not smooth. And it's the imperfections in nature that make things so beautiful. Like those gnarly trees with the bark is so interesting. It's not perfect bark that goes perfectly up the straight tree. None of that. You glaze over those. You look at that tree that has shown the weather, that it's resisted everything and is resilient. And that's what is something I think that we forget. It's the resilience. We listen to people. It's like, whoa, listen to what they went through. Like when you started this podcast, whoa, that was an intense, a very unfortunate, intense experience and a beautiful aha moment for you that was so empowering to be able to own yourself.
I love that. I think, so I think like there's no such thing as a perfect deal, right? And the sooner that you figure that out, the faster you're gonna be able to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think as women, I think that we are built better for pain. I think because I'm coming to that from this, but it's true. Honestly,
well,
if I had to,
we can give birth. I have not physically had a child, so I will not say anything about knowing how that feels. But I've just heard.
I think I'm just because I'm fresh from it that I'm just like, wow, women, like half the population or whatever, like go through this. They like it was an incredibly hard thing, and physically, mentally, and women are built for it. And so I think it's just like, when you really think about that, the natural power that you carry as a woman and being so capable of moving towards painful things and bouncing out of it, like that deal is not going to look like anything to you anymore. It's like just the second that you realize, women realize their own power, that they're going to be taking over every single deal. Guarantee, not even like guarantee.
Absolutely. One of the things that when you were talking about the number of doors and comparison, and when I hear people talk about the number of doors that they're in, my next question is, just because I'm in the world, in the industry, I'm like, that means absolutely nothing. That could be you're in a complex that has that number of doors. You have, is that single family? Is that, how are you in four buildings that the total up is the number of doors? So there's so many variables already just the number of doors. But then my biggest question is, how much money did you make from that? What is your financial freedom from that? Is it just the number of doors? Because it doesn't, realistically, that means absolutely nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
If anything, I think it may be a negative attribute, because I'm like, okay, you have that many doors. That means you're not going to be spending your time in it. You're not really concentrating on building quality things, which is not in line with my philosophy as a real estate investor.
Yes.
You don't have, you are far too scaled out and just chasing doors. And that's honestly how I have been seeing every single deal fall, is because people have been chasing doors, not doing their underwriting well, or they're not putting the kind of work that they need to in order to sustain the occupancy for their buildings, right? So I think it's actually a negative attribute. You are not wise with your time and your money, right?
Absolutely. Because at the end, you know, when once you acquire those doors and it closes, now you're responsible to your investors to keep that property running to the end of the and exit the business plan and in hopes to meet or beat the projections that you have attached to that particular underwriting. And that is not something that you just hand over to the property manager. You know, if you're in the game, so to speak, you really need to understand that you got to stay there and you have to participate in how that property is being managed and speak up. That's the other thing. If you're wondering about something, it doesn't matter if you have a sponsor or someone that has more experience, ask the question. Ask the question because one, it could educate you on something that maybe you're not aware of in other aspects, so it really wasn't irrelevant. Is it irrelevant to the big picture? Or it's, oh, we forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up. So there's a lot going on. And you don't want to grow fast. Growing fast, think about any business that just explodes. Think about the, if you want to break it down even into a simpler word, image is looking at like social media and how a video goes viral. But that's what I compare that when I hear people exceeding in like 1,000 doors in a year, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. How about the first one? How's that one running? Let's get through that. And I think that also shows what kind of a person you are. If you're a true investor, if you're seeing someone just like cranking in the doors, that doesn't mean that you're successful in this industry.
I think in order to be successful in real estate, you do need to shut out what is happening on social media, because that is not the realist, that's not the realistic story about what these big syndicators, real estate gurus are really doing. I think once you get into it and you really start underwriting their deals, maybe like their deals from maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you're going to see that as well. That's not the entire story. So I think that was a big aha moment for me. It's always, you'd be drawn by the story, but verify.
And knowing, and this is something that I'm always, because I'm just in the way that my brain works and the engineering mind, I always want to know how things work. Okay, so we have this pretty package of this multifamily world. How do the bits and pieces inside make that be, you get to the end of your business plan? What are you doing? Tell me the numbers. Being a licensed contractor as well, it's like when we're underwriting and we'll just say renovations, $5,000. What? No. How much is a can of paint in that area? How much is the labor in that area? And I used to drive my team members crazy. I'm like, guys, we can't underwrite and just slap $15,000 as a random number to any of these three markets that we might be looking at just to say that's what it'll be to renovate this unit. That's not realistic. And that's setting us up for failure. And I got resistance from that. And it's okay. So how many of you have actually physically built a house? And there was dead silence. And I'm like, okay, so I am the only one in the room that has done this. And you don't understand that you have to really think about materials beyond just the inflation rate and what happened in the market. It's like, how much is it costing in that area? And then let's go, let's get a really solid number. That's a conservative number to work with. And if it doesn't, and if the underwriting doesn't work, it doesn't work, and move on.
Yeah. I think it's also really tough because you are moving against a timeline, you're bidding against other people, and they're getting the numbers as it were, but anyone can throw stupid money at anything. And stupid underwriting is also stupid money. So I hear you. Yeah. And so it is really tough. And I think that the whole syndication world, I think the hard part is that like it seems to have been opened to everybody, which is great, but also like it has its negative points, right? It's because everyone and their moms can feel like a syndicator now too. They don't have the building experience or the investment experience. So many syndicators never even had any other investments prior to doing a large scale building. And that's something to think about, especially if you are an LP into a deal or finding co-GPs, like how much of the background experience do your partners really have building experience, right? So that they know the price of everything. And so That's why I also like, I entirely hear, as terrible as the lending process is in multifamily, my goodness, it's so freaking thorough. It's really annoying, but I actually really appreciate it because I really get through all of that too.
Yeah, if they didn't, it would just be even more of a disaster for us.
It would be a disaster. like, more so than it already is. But yeah, so I appreciate them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We are running out of time. I could just be chatting with you. I'll have to have you back on the show and hear about your bike ride. I'm so excited about that. Schedule another time, like from a year now, see where you've come, how the bike ride influenced your financial journey. And maybe at that point, then your child will also be working with you as your assistant on the side.
Sure. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on. It was such an easy conversation, super fun. And yeah, I love it.
Thank you. And just before we leave, if anyone wants to reach out to you, and it'll be in the show notes as well, is where can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you want to find me, please go to risecapital.com, which is our new website, or you can find me at anita@giverisecapital.com. Or if you want to join our Sarah Ladies group, or if you are an AAPI woman getting into real estate, you can find us at sarahladies.com, or we are also on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. And like I said, we'll have that all in the show notes for everyone. And I appreciate it. This has been such a rich conversation. I just love this. And thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing. I'm sure that our listeners are really feeling empowered by this interview today. I really appreciate it with all my heart. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
I just want to say thank everyone for listening. And remember that you're your own genie in the bottle. And I want you to do something today that your future self will thank you for. And I want to again thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.